I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, and Paul Zeiss. Paul Zeiss Show brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of The Fan. Archie's also the home of 50 Cent Wings Monday through Thursday. It's the home of the Paul Zeiss Grilled Cheese Sandwich. And also, Archie's Friday Happy Hour. Get there 5 to 7 or something like that. And, yeah, I think it's 4 to 6 or 5 to 7. But Archie's happy hour is good deals, cheap drinks, and lots of good food and atmosphere. So get down to Archie's on Friday. We're also brought to you by Solomon Auto Group. This will be the week, the next few weeks, I'll be really, anytime I have a show at this time, it's going to be on location somewhere out near training camp, Steelers training camp. So Thursday will be, I guess that's tomorrow, right? Thursday. I'll be at Tapped in Greensburg. Stop by the Tapped Brick Oven right there on Route 30. If you're going out to the training camp, Steelers training camp, stop by on your way back. Have a few. Eat some good food. So I will be at Tapped tomorrow. I know I've got shows coming up at Velazzi's and a bunch of different places over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So stay tuned, and I will continue to keep you posted as to where I'll be. Joining me now is Jason Mackey, who is in Cincinnati with the Pirates. And, well, it was a trade deadline day that really wasn't all that exciting, was it, Jason?
No, it wasn't, Paul. And, you know, I think there's a couple reasons for that. One of them is good. I'm glad they didn't trade Felipe Vasquez in a stupid deal. I think there was a risk of that. But at the same time, I was kind of surprised by it. I was surprised they held on to Melky Cabrera, held on to Francisco Liriano. The Corey Dickerson return I thought was a little bit low. But I expected it to be a lot busier than it was. It was kind of a boring one.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it is you touched on a couple of things. I'm okay with what they did with Vasquez, Jason, but what is the point of having Cabrera and Liriano and some of these other guys around who aren't going to be here next year? It doesn't make sense to me.
I know. I don't get it either. The only thing I can think of is that the return was just so bad for these guys that Neil Huntington felt like he wasn't going to get anything. But at the same time, I look at that, and they got, you know, basically nothing for Corey Dickerson, a player to be named that's $250,000 in international pool money. I mean, was it worse than that? I wouldn't think so,
right.
Especially given the contracts those guys are on. Melky Cabrera makes nothing. Francisco Liriano makes nothing. Those guys are players that would help contenders. You know, Keonikella has pitched really well. I mean, I guess there could be some, like, off-field concerns, especially given what he did Tuesday night. You know, maybe somebody doesn't want him. But I thought there were deals there to be made. It wouldn't have been sexy return. You know, probably nobody we've ever heard of. But I still think that's better than letting them finish the season in Pittsburgh because, like you said, Paul, I mean, there's just no reason for these guys to be on the team. They're not a part of the future.
No, they're not, and I think that's really, really kind of frustrating. And to me, I think that really, if you take a look at it, we've got to, you know, if you're a Pirates fan, I'm not sure what you take from this. And the other part of it, Jason, is not only did they not make their team better for this year, I don't know that they made their farm system better. So
they
really didn't do anything to upgrade their team. Which means to me, I look at this team and say they're probably going to be a 78 to 82 win team next year too.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll give you is that or give them is the offseason. I mean, they can still do something in the offseason and change this. Like if they get an offer for Vasquez in the winter, I get it. That makes sense. Especially if it's, you know, a premium offer as opposed to what I think they were looking at today. But I don't know. Let's they continue doing what they're doing. Yes. I mean, this is 78-win team, max. If I'm a Pirates fan, I try to think about this today. Like, you know, I think the thing that would upset me the most is it seems like there, one, is a lack of, like, any sort of direction from the team, and two, an inability to, like, soberly assess what's going on here. You know, you're 14 games out of first, or 14 games under 500, whatever the heck it is. Neil Huntington's talk about not being, like, technically eliminated from the playoffs. And give me a break. I like Neil Huntington. I think he's a really smart guy, but let's not talk about playoffs here. Let's have a sober assessment of where we are, which is we need to look at some young guys. We need to get the farm system better. We need to figure out how to not have this happen, not just keep doing what we're doing, because it's not working.
No, it's not. And I think that's the thing that Pirate fans are really tired of. It feels like they're banging their head against the wall and nothing ever really changes. And again, I would really basically challenge anybody to come up with and tell me what the plan is. What is their plan going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know one. I do respect some of what Neil Huntington said on his conference call about some of their starting pitching. I think people get a little out of whack when, you know, you say their starting pitching is absolutely terrible or something like that. There's a realistic possibility of Trevor Williams being pretty good, Joe Musgrove being pretty good. You can bring Mitch Keller up here. If they can figure out what the heck's going on with Chris Archer, he has shown signs. I get not freaking out now. You got to get until the end of the season. I mean, there's some stuff here that might not be terrible. But the constant banging of the head against the wall, I mean, I get why that can be frustrating for fans. It's just, you know, you almost want Huntington to sit there and say, you know what, we screwed up. We thought we had certain things. We didn't. We're operating under a limited budget. We need to take from now until the end of the season and the off season to really assess where this club has gone wrong. There's obviously multiple things. If you look at our record, we're not even thinking about the playoffs, but what we are thinking about is not doing what we've done this season again and figuring out how to not make this repeatable. And I feel like that's not the message that got across.
Yep. I mean, I think it's something that this management team, this front office, has really not done very well in terms of being able to articulate a plan and do so in a way that doesn't come off as, you know, sort of condescending. And I guess my question to you, Jason, is going forward, and I know they're both signed for, you know, a lot of years or whatever, two more years, is there any chance that this season will be the one where Bob Nutting finally says, you know, we need to go in a different direction? In terms of the general manager and the front office and everything else?
I don't think so. I mean, I suppose if they lose, you know, I don't know, another 16 of 19 or whatever the heck this stretch has been. I mean, I suppose then, you know, the noise is going to be so loud that you can't ignore it. But, I mean, I really have a tough time believing that it's going to happen. You know, you're going to pay two guys not to work. You're basically going to, if you pull Huntington out of there. I mean, who's your replacement and what sort of direction do they go? I don't think a new guy would continue down the same path. I don't see it happening. I think for better or for worse, it's going to be Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle figuring this thing out. I mean, my only hope, and, you know, sort of trying to gauge what Pirates fans think here, is that there is just kind of an assessment of where we are, a realization that it's not 2015, and kind of a, there needs to be some sort of substantial change short of a complete teardown.
Yeah, and I think that's really, to me, you know, what you take a look at, Jason. There needs to be something changed here, whether it's players, whether it's the front office, whether it's, you know, in the dugout.
Yeah.
Something needs to change because it's just not working. It simply has not worked since 2015.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talk about, you know, should Clint Hurdle be allowed to keep his job? Should Neil Huntington be allowed to keep his job? I mean, Neil Huntington's not crafting the budget with which he works. And usually what I get slammed back in my face when I make that argument is, well, he turned down the San Francisco job or whatever. And I don't totally get the relevance there. I mean, you think Neil Huntington didn't want to go get a starting pitcher when they had like two of them and they're using Montana DeRoppo as an opener? I mean, for crying out loud, that's sort of where it breaks down for me. You know, let the guy do his job. Give the guy the resources to do his job, and then let's evaluate him. A lot of people in this town crush Neil Huntington, and I get the vitriol that exists for Pirates fans. But it is sort of an unfair thing to constantly criticize the guy when he's not given the means to do his job the appropriate way. Like, I came from a hockey background and watching Jim Rutherford. Jim Rutherford has zero excuses to stink. You know, that ownership group spends everything on him, on facilities, on players. You know, and I mean off the ice, on the ice. I mean, they are giving him every possible resource to do his job. And the Pirates come woefully short in that department. And that's not all on Huntington. I mean, he can't just make up the budget with which he works.
No, he can't, Jason. I think that's a fair point. By the same token, I think some of the things that he's done since 2015 have not been good. Not been
yes,
wise
correct.
Decisions and not always used the resources the best that he could. But to your point, it comes down to the fact that all of them are operating basically with their hands tied behind their back. And, you know, one thought is that maybe, you know, because they saved so much money this year and salary and whatnot, that they might go out in the offseason and spend some and upgrade the roster. I don't know if I'm buying that, just because we haven't seen that from this outfit.
No, and fans should have no reason to expect that. I mean, they should expect it based on being fans and going to games and buying merchandise, and I feel like you're owed that. But is there a track record of, you know, hey, we need a starting pitcher, we're going to go out and get this guy? No, and they need a starting pitcher. They need to go out and get somebody. You know, I can get on board with Joe Musgrove being my number three or four starter. I can get on board with Trevor Williams being my number three or four starter. You know, Mitch Keller is going to be effective. I like what I've seen from Dario Agrizal. Maybe Chris Archer figures it out. But even in that optimistic picture, you need to go out and get somebody. They're getting the worst production out of anybody from their catchers in the National League. That needs fixed. That's going to cost money. Their infield's actually half decent. Their outfield isn't bad. But you're going to need to spend some money. And, I mean, frankly, Paul, I'm sure you have the same concerns. I don't have any confidence whatsoever that they're going to go out and identify their needs and then spend the requisite amount of money to go fill them.
Well, looking forward here, Jason, I mean, what is the second half going to be about? What are some things that I guess people should look for and look at when it comes to the second half of this season, which ultimately looks like it's lost?
Do you mean like other than contending for a World Series?
Yes.
Okay. No. I'm just kidding. But I would look at a couple things. I mentioned the Archer thing earlier. He's due an option in the winter. And I really do think they're sort of half in, half out on whether to give it to him. And I think the rest of the season will sort of determine which course they go. I'm curious to see when Cabrian Hayes and Cole Tucker come up here. What do they do with Will Craig? How do they get him wrapped? I want to see, you know, what happens with Trevor Williams, Joe Musgrove, and those guys, you know, sort of fortify their spots in the rotation as well. When do they bring up Mitch Keller? That's going to be a big question. Jung Ho Kang is basically, in my opinion, not really deserving of a roster spot at this point. And you have other guys, and, you know, Tucker, Hayes, Craig, you know, those types deserving of one. And I would sort of think that, you know, come Friday, they're probably going to have to DFA Gung. The bat just hasn't come around. Nobody wanted him, and whatever. I'm curious to see where Brian Reynolds goes with this. I'm curious to see where Kevin Newman goes with this. I think Josh Bell has shown a couple signs here in Cincinnati, but, you know, he's got to get back to where he was before. He's a long way off from it. I'll be curious to see if he can do that.
Well, Jason, I know it's been a very long day for you, and I appreciate you hanging in there, and hopefully it's hopefully going to be one of those things where you get a day off tomorrow and then you can sort of get yourself readjusted, and the second half of the, or I guess whatever stretch run of the season, you're sharp and ready to go.
All good, man. I always appreciate you having me on. Thank you. I'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good. And thanks, Jason. Thanks for everything, and we will talk to you soon. It's Jason Mackey. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.